So when we were meeting on one of those Wednesday nights and praying, in walks this young man that he looked familiar, but I didn't know who he was. And after realizing that he was on our wall, picture on our wall, I said, "Are you Ralph Shepherd?" And he said, "In the flesh." So Ralph decided to spend that hour with us praying for the other missionaries. At the end of the service, Ralph told us that he was pleasantly surprised that we hadn't forgotten them and that we were still praying for them. Ralph and Ellen are here this morning. Would you come forward? We want to congratulate you. Ralph and Ellen, you served with Team Missions for about 40 years.
Almost
40 years. And you served in Peru first, I think, what, for 25 years or so? Or
20 years.
And then you transferred to Guadalajara back in about 2007 or so.
Right, exactly.
And here you are. And here somebody said, in the flesh, yes. And somebody said you're retiring, which means you better keep your work shoes on because it gets busy now. We want to congratulate you for 40 years of faithfulness to God's work and for being a part of God's kingdom and expanding that kingdom. And we are absolutely thrilled to have supported you for 40 years, praying for you, financially giving, and for you coming about every fourth year, our fifth year, and sharing. And I remember those kids up front singing, and now they're all married, or all
grown,
having.
At least.
They're all what?
Grown.
Yes. Yeah. And you can tell us about them maybe later, but we just want to give you a small token of our appreciation, an honorarium, just to say thank you for all the work and all the investment that you have given to the kingdom of God.
Thank you.
God
thank
bless
you.
You.
So
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ralph gets to preach in just a minute. So would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, thank you so much for Ralph and Ellen. Thank you for the call of God in their lives. First of all, for bringing them into your kingdom years ago, and then calling them together to serve you overseas. And I know that's a huge sacrifice, but your word promises to bless us 100,000 times over for saying yes to Jesus. And I just thank you so much for Ralph and Ellen, your faithfulness to them and their faithfulness to you. We pray that you would bless them with good health, that they would be able to serve you here in the States. We pray, Father, for their family. We pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to use Ralph and Ellen to not only impact their children and their grandchildren now, but Father, for those that they get to know in Colorado, their neighbors, their friends, and those around them in the local church as well. So thank you for them. Pour out your Spirit, your blessing on them, and may they serve you for many, many years until you call them home to be with you. Bless Ralph as he shares God's word. I pray that you'd write the word of God in his heart and make him an instrument for your honor and glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless
amen.
You.
Thanks, Randy.
Okay. Excuse me, Rob.
Buenos dias. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's been a long time that this church has been supporting us. I don't know how many of you were around 40 years ago. Anybody here 40 years ago? Yes, look at that. All right, okay, this is cool. Yeah, well, we want to give you a brief and simple overview of what God is doing and has been doing in Lima, Peru, and Guadalajara, Mexico, I want to say Mexico, for the last 40 years. So we're going to do a brief PowerPoint slide back and forth and show you a few pictures to give you an idea of what God is doing right now. And you might be surprised. First of all, thank you. Not only from us, but from those people in Mexico. They said, when you come back to the States and report, you thank those churches for sending you, because we come into the faith. So here we go, a little bit of a report.
And before that, I also want to say such a thank you to this church, because you have been, I can specifically remember moments here that were so special to us, and you ministered to us as we came, and so thank you for that. This is our group as we've gone through the years, and many of you do remember those times, and our kiddos, and it's been a privilege to share with you. Our first 20 years was spent in Lima, Peru, and we served in La Iglesia Biblica Cristiana that started out in this humble building at that time, and has grown to be a very prominent building on that street in that area, and has now grown to over 1,000. But the more important than that is that this church is ministering, is planting other churches in other areas.
11
churches. And so that's what we're really, really thankful for. And then that was 6 years. So the next 14 years we spent in this church, La Iglesia Biblica Cristiana, but in a different place. And it started out as just a Bible study. And what a joy it was to see this church go from just a home Bible study to be this church that also has over 1,000 and also is planting other churches. So we are really thrilled about that too. And we got to go back there in 2014 and see what God had done in that place, and just a joyful, amazing thing. So we were privileged to go back. They invited us back. They paid our way. They paid for everything. One of the main guys in the church said, we didn't want you to spend one penny. So it was, what a joy, you know, to have the national people be treating us like that. And then
I just wanted to say this morning, each of those churches will be having 5 services throughout the day. So it's amazing. Now, this is a long period of time. So, you know, how long has East Lincoln been here, a church?
1887.
Okay, look at what God's done through all these years. I mean, this is amazing. This is amazing. So the church, those two churches, have wonderful national leaders. And they're very good at making disciples. And they have raised up pastors. I remember when I was working that first church, when we were going to start working the second one, I said, Lord, I ask you to raise up at least 5. And I changed it to 10. I said, raise up 10 pastors from this first church. And he's done that. So this is really amazing. It's really amazing. But there came a time when we felt like the national church would benefit more from our absence than from our presence. And God had given us a vision to start a different kind of work, a different kind of ministry. And so when we left Lima, we didn't know for sure where we were going, and he ended up calling us to Guadalajara, Mexico. We made 2 investigative trips there, and everybody said, this is a really hard place. Really, really hard place. A cemetery for missionaries. But we need workers here. And so we went there in 2007 to start a network of house churches. No buildings, no properties. Just meeting in living rooms, and we'll talk about that in a minute here. But a very different vision, and in a city that's very known for its traditions. And so it was as challenging as they told us it would be. But God has been good, and you can see this is not, you know, there's no burros. No sombreros. I mean, this is a modern city. They have modern everything. It's the most modern city I've ever lived in. So it's amazing to be there in Mexico. But what about house churches?
So house churches are just what you would imagine. They're houses in the church. I mean, churches in the house. And it's a real mixture of Christians and non-Christians, of young and old, married and single, and just whoever God brings to us. And so this is a picture of some of our house churches. And it's very interactive, lots of questions, lots of conversation. And one of the main things, though, that we try to do is for everyone to have a Bible in their hands, a Bible on their phone now, but to be able to see for their own, with their own eyes, what God is saying, and that it's not just us. And many of them, it's the first time that they have read the Bible for themselves. So it's really good that they see it themselves in the Word. And you can see sometimes it's around the table, sometimes in the living room, and just a lot of different things.
One of the questions we get asked is, what about the children? Well, some of them like to have house churches that where the children have special classes, like a Sunday school today, right? But some of them prefer to have the children right there with the adults, and it can be a little bit pandemonium, you know. But each house church can kind of decide for themselves. Another thing house churches do is we celebrate the Lord's Supper and believer's baptism. Now, I don't know what that looks like to you, but that looks like an inflated swimming pool. But we can do that in the backyard, you know. We've done that, and so we have believer's baptism, we have the Lord's Supper. And it's really exciting when people make that decision. That is a huge decision. When people get baptized, they feel like, wow, this is huge, because the family feels like they have left their religion. And that is not small. So that's very, very big when people make the decision. Now, maybe 3 or 4 times a year, we will get all of our believers together, all of our community together under one roof for combined gatherings, special teaching topics on certain things that people have been asking a lot about. At Easter and Christmas in particular, we have these. And so we do have combined gatherings throughout the year. So,
sorry, I'm a little challenged with the clicker. So these are our elders and their wives. And we have 3 elders. And this couple on the top right are Juan Manuel and Rebecca. Juan owns a bike shop, and he and Rebecca both work in the bike shop. Then on the bottom, you see Pepe and Claudia. Pepe is a fumigator, and his wife is a coordinator in a school. And then on the left, you see Jason and Rosie, and Jason is an English professor at a university in Guadalajara, and his wife is a hairstylist, and they have 2 young children. Then we also have some up-and-coming younger leaders, and which we are so thankful for, because when we had our elders, we wanted there to be another tier, right? And so we have these younger couples. On the left are David and Ale. And David has a refrigerator. Well, he works for a refrigerator repair company. And then Ale works as a coordinator in a school. And on the right, you see Juan and Astrid. And they are both doctors. And Ralph is going to tell you a little bit more about their story in a second.
When we were coming back to the States, another city in Mexico, La Paz, they said, you need to include in your report what we're doing, because we're doing what we're doing, how we're doing, because of the vision of house churches. But they don't meet in the homes, they meet outside the homes, out in front in the carport.
The next one.
There you go. Okay, oopsie.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
So there they are, out in front of the house, you know. So house churches can meet in the house, or they can meet out in front of the house. But there's a house. And there's people. And so they've done patio 1 and patio 2, and they're working on patio 3 in La Paz. And then Juan and Rebecca, who own the bike shop, you see that green wall there? Behind that is their bike shop. It's not even a quarter the size of this room. And God is doing amazing things in that place. And above that, you see that terrace up above there? They built that so they can start a community center to reach out into their community. Nutrition classes, topics for women who are, there's a lot of abuse, a lot of struggles that they have, youth activities, Bible studies. And so their vision is to start a community center up there. So the idea of our vision was Conexión is a network of house churches. We want to connect people in their relationship with God, relationship together as believers, and then relationship with those who need Christ still. So Conexión. So that's a brief overview of what is going on. So when we left, they said, okay, who's taking your place, Rafael? And I said, you are. So we had four elders and their wives. Now there's three elders and their wives. But this is the first time Conexión does not have missionaries there until they send out their own. So that is the vision. So praise God. You can see what God has been doing.
And we thank you so, so much for your support over all of these years. It has been such a blessing to us.
You know, the parable of the sower and the four soils. And he went out and he just randomly throwing the seed. I'm sure he had his system. But there was four types of soil. What was the first one? It was rock hard, right? And no response. The second one, there was a lot of initial response, but then there was the thorns that came and choked it. And then the third one was the rocky soil. Initial response, and then nothing. And then there was the good soil. And Ellen mentioned Juan and Astrid, this couple of who are doctors. They had started coming to one of our house churches about 6 years ago. They came for a month or two, and then they disappeared. And I had visited Juan at his workplace, trying to follow up with him a little bit, and I just realized they're just not ready. They're just not ready. Well, a year ago this month, I got a text from Juan, and he said, Rafael, do you guys do marriage therapies? And I thought, uh-oh. So I said, yes, we do. So they came over, and they were sitting on the couch, and there was about the width of this podium here between him and her. And as they shared, they told us that they were at the point of divorce. But he said, well, can we make one more effort? Talk to somebody. And she says, all right, but it's got to be a God person. We don't want to go to somebody who could tell us to split up. So they shared with us for about an hour. He was not touching her. They weren't looking at each other. And at the end of an hour, I said, Juan, I said, here's the situation. You had an empty well. You got nothing to give your wife. And Astrid, you've got nothing to give Juan. You got an empty well inside. What you need is you need to have your number one in place. You need to have a relationship with God because he is that source that never ceases to provide. So I said, Juan, I want you to go home, and I want you to take the Bible and find the Gospel of John, and I want you to read the first five verses. Read a couple times, two or three times. Write down a couple observations, things that stand out for you. Write what you think might be a personal application, then spend 5 minutes talking with God about what you think he's trying to say to you. I want you to do that five times. Said Astrid, same thing. 10 days later, they came back. They were sitting side by side, looking at each other, touching each other, and there was a glow in their faces. And I said, how'd it go? And they said, well, we've read through chapter 8 of Juan. And that was the beginning. And God began to touch this couple very, very deeply. And you could see that God had rekindled the love between them. And he was beginning to create a relationship with them. Because they read all the way through the book of John in less than a month. And they started into Acts, and Astrid says, I see all these people getting baptized. She says, I want to get baptized. And I looked at Juan, he says, I do too. So 2 months after we first started meeting with them, they got baptized. And they were reading and reading, and Juan says, I'm not a reader. I said, well, you're doing pretty darn well. He's not a reading. In that first year, they read through the whole New Testament, Genesis through Joshua. And they were coming to the house church every week. They were inviting people. There's been a dozen people that have come into the community of Conexión that they invited over this first year. She has a beautiful voice. They started to sing on the worship team, and God has put them down the road there. In the month of December, they said, we're going to be married 7 years. And they said, Rafael, would you officiate a renewal of vows ceremony? I said, I would be glad to do that. I said, you're thinking, what, maybe 20, 30 people, right? And they said, no, 130. They invited 130 people. Everybody came. And during the ceremony, they shared their testimony, how they'd been at the point of divorce. And Juan said, you know, I went to Rafael and Elena to save my marriage. He said, but God saved my life. Praise God. Praise God. And I come back to the parable of the sower. When they came, they were soil number one. They came back 5 years later. 5 years. I don't know what a growing season is for farming, but I don't think it's 5 years, right? 5 years later, they were good soil. And God did a work. It was such a delight. They said the first night when they left our house, they had come in separate cars. They gave each other a hug, which they hadn't done in a long time. And God has been exciting all of us through Juan and Astrid. Now, if you saw him, you'd say, well, he's a doctor. He's got earrings. He's got tattoos. But he's a doctor, and she's a doctor, and they love the Lord. So it got me to thinking about something that I want to mention to you guys this morning. If you can move on to the next slide for me back there, thanks. I want us to think about what happens when we sow seed for God. And when we sow seed for God, it might be through prayer. I am sure that there are people here this morning that have been praying for somebody for months, years, maybe decades. Sowing seeds of prayer. Maybe you've been memorizing the word and reading the word and reflecting on the word because you want the word of God to overflow into your from your life into the life of others. Seeds of the word, seeds of the gospel. I love that first song that we sang. Thanks for leading that this morning. That was the gospel. That was Ephesians. We went through Ephesians together with our house church. Sowing seeds of the word, sowing seeds of the gospel. Sowing seeds of friendship. You build friendships with people with the hopes that down the road you might be able to share the gospel and share the love of Christ in some way. Sowing seeds, sowing seeds, sowing seeds. And what do we notice? We cannot predict or know what may result. That makes seed sowing not fun. Sometimes. But the Word of God says, whatsoever a man sows, what? He might reap. No, no, he will reap. I'm sure it's true of women too. All right, whatsoever a person sows, God says, he will reap. But then he adds a little caveat. He says, don't grow weary and give up. We went through some very, very thin years. When we came back here to the States and shared at this church in 2000, we came back to the States and I said, God, I'm not losing my faith, but my faith is really, really beat up. We've been praying more than we ever have in our lives, and we're seeing nothing. on the surface. And God said, Ralph, I know you're an American, but don't be addicted to results. And he said, Ralph, when you continue to ask me and believe me and expect great things of me, even when you see nothing, it pleasures me. Keep doing it. And I don't know what seeds you've been planting, for how long you might be planting. Don't give up. We shared it with this church that we have a daughter who went into the gay world. She now thinks she's a man. We refuse to use the pronouns on her new name. And her friends are saying, just forget about your family. Forget about your parents. Just cut them off. Because we didn't cut her off. She says, well, it's kind of complicated, she told her friends, because I know Mom and Dad love me. We've been praying for Marta a long, long time. And we're not giving up. Keep planting the seeds, because whatsoever a man sows, he will reap if he doesn't give up. Now, the interesting thing, planting seed sometimes serves to break up hard soil and even rocks. When I went out to Colorado, because I was pursuing my relationship with Ellen many years ago, we went up in the mountains and I saw this big boulder, granite boulder, about as from the floor to the top of the clock here. And it was split right down the middle. I said, how did that happen? My father-in-law says, well, Ralph, says these birds come along and they plant these little seeds. They drop a seed in there and it will get a tiny little spot in there, a little bit of dirt on the top, and puts down a tiny little bit of root. And the water comes from the rain and it freezes and it creates this little bit of crevice. Another bird comes along and does the same thing. After about 50 birds, 100 birds, 150, 200, 300 years, that process keeps going and keeps going and keeps going, and eventually the rock splits. I don't know what bird number I am, but I can't wait to see some of those rocks, those hard, hard rocks, split right down the middle. God took a split marriage and put it back together because somebody was praying. Spiritual investing is a slow and patient effort with long periods of uncertainty and waiting. I don't know about you, but I'm not. Very few people have accused me of being patient. Ay, ay, ay. I am not patient. I get the thing about the driving, Tim. And one day I was driving down the road and the Spirit said, Ralph, sometimes faster is not better. It's just faster. And he said, you don't need to go as fast as the next guy, particularly the guy that's coming up behind you. And the Lord's had to teach me patience through the years of working. You know, when we were there in Lima, that first church almost split right down the middle, 10 years into their existence. It was nasty. It was a nasty situation. But God kept it together. And look what's happened. That second church, we'd been working there a long time, and the church was going down. It was growing negatively, and it went down to 25, 30 people. It was at the point of dying. And God said, Ralph, don't go in and rescue it. You let it keep happening. Don't offer to bail them out. You keep doing what I ask you to do and nothing more, nothing less. And I thought the church was going to die. But God didn't want it to die. He just wanted it to be really desperately bad. Because he wanted to make a major change. And what we ended up doing, we ended up merging that little church plant with another church plant. and things really took off. That was 2004. And the church went from 2004, maybe 60, 70, 80 people in the combined church. When we left there in 2000, that was 2002, right? 2002. In 2005, it had grown to 180. By the time we left Lima, it was approaching 200, and now look at it. And they're planting new churches. Ellen and I met with this other couple for 13 months trying to start a first marriage couples group. 13 months. No results, no results, no results, no results, no results. In month 14, that first Sunday of the month, a new couple walked into the church. Second Sunday, new couple walked into the church. Third Sunday, new couple walked into the church. Fourth Sunday, new couple walked into the church. And the other couple, Julio, says, Rafael, he says, we got a couples group now. I says, all right, let's get them going, you know. When we went back there in 2014, there were 120 couples meeting every week in 10 different couples groups. It's a slow and patient effort. Long periods of uncertainty and waiting. No guarantees, except whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. But he mustn't stop. I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to shut down. I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to keep on planting seeds. Keep on planting seeds, my friends. We do it individually. We do it as a couple. We do it as a family. We do it as a church. We do it as a community of believers because there are things that, there are mountains that need to move. And we sang about that. Seeds of prayer, seeds of the word, seeds of sharing the gospel, seeds of friendship, seeds of discipleship, and there's other kinds of seeds you might be involved in. My friends, let's keep on planting the seeds because good soil seed and good soil in the long run can produce exponential results. I believe in the month of June, last year was when Juan and Astrid got baptized. I believe this June, their friends, Sarah and Chewy. Chewy is a nickname for Jesus. I believe they're going to get baptized. And so is, I mean, you see, it's amazing, friends. From nobody, from hard soil, they became good soil. And what was the end of good soil? Producing 30, 60, up to 100. My friends, you as a church have participated in the planting of churches in Lima, Peru, and house churches in Guadalajara, La Paz, elsewhere, Mexico. And someday, when we're with the Lord, up in those streets that are waiting for us, somebody's going to come up to you. I want to shake your hand and say, you don't know me. But you sent missionaries to our city. Thank you. I want you to meet Juan and Astrid. I want you to hear her sing. Oh, my goodness. I should have had a video of her this morning. Singing about the goodness of God, which they did at the end of the ceremony, and there weren't any dry eyes at that ceremony, I'll tell you. Out of those 130 people, 100 were unbelievers, extended family and friends, and they heard the gospel. And their lives are being touched, and seeds are being planted. So I think my time is up. But my friends, it's still a good time to plant seeds. Thank you. and praise to God for what he is doing and has done through your prayers, your giving, and your sending. And yes, thank you, Randy, in the flesh. But God is good. Let's praise God together, friends, with lots of seed planting.